We're going to start in the NLT in chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs. Verse 7 and 8. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Do you know that when I learned who God really was, and when I learned these principles about this book, and that I learned that He not only can make you sick, He can kill you. The God I was taught about, that He's loving and kind and merciful, and He would never, ever, ever hurt me, much less kill me because of sin. But when I began to read the book in its entirety, I learned that He will. You know, I think about that little girl at 15 years old, moved in with a 19 or 20-year-old boy. Her daddy wanted me to go, and I went and ministered to her. I asked her if she's a Christian. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Because she's been in the Baptist church with us all these years. And he didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. No, I ain't a Christian. Nope. Don't want nothing to do with it. I said, well, first of all, honey, he don't believe in Jesus. You do. So I said, first of all, God says not to be yoked together with Him. How many of y'all know that's in the Scripture? You've read that somewhere? Okay, so I'm not telling you something. It's in the Word of God. Not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Because He said, what can you do if you put a Christian in the house and a devil in the house? And that's what you got. So many men and women think that we can do it, you know, because most men and women today in the church, when they meet somebody, they never even ask them, are you a Christian? They'll marry a guy, you know, and he never went to church with them one time, went with him for 2 years. And then on Sunday, he's out doing something else or recovering from a Saturday night. Oh, but I'll change him when I marry him. Yeah, I got news for you, girl. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. So you don't want a devil in your house because you want a man of God. That's what when Cheryl, when she put down her request, after she had tried a couple of them and neither one of them worked, she said, Lord, if you ever bring me another husband, he's got to be a man of God, a man that knows you. I said, I don't want him if he's not a man of God. Well, God brought her a man of God. When you think about these people, like this little girl, I told her, she can't do this. She's got to move out. And she said, no. And I said, honey, let me tell you something. I want to put some fear of God in your heart. I said, let me show you something in the Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, and I guess we'll just go there right quick. I want you to see that yourself. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will bring ruin upon anyone who ruins this temple. In fact, in the King James, it says God will destroy. So I told her, I said, since God said He will destroy your temple, if you bring ruin upon the temple, for God's temple is holy, and you Christians are that temple. So if you and me are living, if we are the temple of God, and this is supposed to be holy, so we go out and start defiling our temple with sexual immorality, what does God say He will do? He said there He will ruin it, or in the King James says He will destroy it. What does it mean to destroy your temple? It means kill it. Kill you. And she, when I told her that, I said, I want to tell you that God will kill you if you don't move out. And she said, Mr. Shirt, I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. She said, God is a loving God. He's merciful. He would never hurt me, much less kill me. I said, honey, I guarantee, if it's written in that book, I guarantee you better believe it. Well, she said, I don't believe that. Now see, the proverb said, all these things are for our understanding, for our knowledge, for discipline. And how to live and how to have the proper conduct and everything. Well, she got pregnant in 3 or 4 months, and thank God the little child was born normal and appeared to be normal. But her daddy wanted me to go again after the child got 3 or 4 months old. Thurman, please go over and see if you can. She won't listen to me. See if you can get her to move out. Well, I went over there and tried it again. Well, to make a long story short, 3 times in 5 years, I went after every child she had, 3 babies in 5 years, not married to this guy. And every time I went, I told her, I said, your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God lives in your temple. I said, if you don't repent and move out, I said, God, I don't know how long He's going to give you, honey, but I said, God said in His Word that He will destroy your temple. That means He will kill you. And she said, Mr. Scrivener, I have never heard that in church in my life, and I do not believe that's what that means. I said, okay. So I left. A month later, her and that boy and that baby went to bed together, and the next morning, she's 21 years old. He wakes up, and the baby wakes up, but in the middle of the night, this 21-year-old girl had had a massive heart attack, and she was stone, hard, cold, dead. Now, don't tell me God won't do what He said in His Word. You know, that puts a fear in me. I mean, I know that if I don't do something to please God, how hard would it be for Him to kill you? You know how many of us would not be alive today if He wasn't merciful? If God wasn't merciful and long-suffering and patient and give me and you chance after chance after chance, we knew if the first tenth time we sinned, he'd kill us, we'd be dead, wouldn't we? Sure we would. All of us would have been. Now, he is very, very long-suffering and patient. But just think, over a five-year period, God sent a man of God to tell this woman the truth three different times, and she didn't believe it. What's it say? Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will bring ruin upon anyone who ruins this temple, for God's temple is holy and you Christians are that temple. People talk about, oh, well, but think of the free grace. Hey, you can talk about all the free grace you want to, but you can't stop at free grace. You got to read the whole book. And the book says what he'll do. Yeah, he had free grace all right. If he didn't have free grace, none of us could have got saved. But see, where we miss it is when we get saved and become children of God, we're supposed to change. You know, we're not supposed to live in sin after we get changed, after we get saved. We're supposed to walk in obedience to his word. And if we do, man, he's the greatest God there is. Whoa! I mean, he blesses your socks off and blesses them back on again. I love it, don't you? I love being able to walk with God and see him do the wonderful things he does. And I love it when I pray for people, especially like that young lady here yesterday that just stood in line saying, last time I was here, I was terminal with cancer. And today I am cancer free. I love that. I love to be able to pray for people and see God show up and do these things. I learned it all reading this wonderful book. Let's go back to Proverbs now where we was. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I mean, you got to realize, he holds your life in his hands. No question. He's the boss, right? If he got through with Thurman today, what could he do with Thurman today? He could take my breath away from me in one heartbeat, couldn't he? And he could do yours the same way. He promises in his word, if we obey him, he will satisfy us with a long, healthy life. And I like that, don't you?
Long life.
Long life, that's right. Yeah. But that still means one day we're still going to die. We just want to be ready when that day comes, right? We want to make sure that God loved us so much and that he kept thinking, well, there's my son, there's my daughter. They're doing what I told them to do, so I'm going to just keep increasing their life and keep increasing their life. I'm going to keep them healthy until one day they get to be, whatever, 120 years old. He said, oh, well, he said, they're ready to come home now. They produce all the fruit I want them to. So he takes your life away and brings you home. And as soon as he takes your life away, you meet him like this. Oh, he said, well done, son. Come in. I don't want to see him say, I'm not too happy with you. Oh, my goodness gracious. Only fools despise wisdom and discipline. So what would you call that little girl that died? What did God say she was? Yeah, we don't want to call anybody a fool, but God called that girl a fool. He's not just calling her a fool. Only a fool despises the wisdom and discipline. Discipline. Well, she said, but I like sleeping with a boy. I said, but discipline yourself, young lady, and marry him. I said, you know, if you want to have sex with a boy, if you will marry him, God will give that to you as a wedding present. Then you can have all the babies you want to, and she could have still been alive today. You know that? That girl could have still been alive today if she'd have just done what God says. If that boy said, I want to go to bed with you, let's move in together. She said, nope, I'm a Christian. I ain't doing it. You need to come to Jesus first. And if he had to come to Jesus, she said, okay, now that you're a Christian, we go to church together. Give him a few months, 6 months or so. You got the rest of your life. Give him 6 months, you know, to go to church with him, prove he changed, that he's a man of God. And he'll take you to church. He'll, you know, make a living for you and all these kind of things. And if he will, then she says, okay, now I will marry you. And when he marries her and puts a ring on her finger and says, I do, then they go home that night. If they want to go to bed together, that's okay. That's a wedding present that God give them. And then if they want to have 3, 4, 5 dozen kids or whatever, it's okay. They can live. You know, I told a story yesterday that's the most awesome thing I've ever seen, really. There was a couple, a man and a woman and a man and a woman. None of them were sick. Neither one of them had any kind of thing wrong with them whatsoever. But this man and this woman got together in an adulterous affair. And they both came down with an incurable venereal disease. Now, when they told me they had this venereal disease, and I said, well, who you been running around with? He said, her. And I said, who you been running? She said, him. I said, how long y'all been married? Both of them had been married about 20 years. Each couple had been married nearly 20 years, and they had been having sex all of their life, and neither one of them had never had a venereal disease. I mean, but a man and a woman married, how much sex can you have? All you want. And is it going to bring venereal disease? No, I ain't never seen a man and woman that's married. I don't care if they have sex once a week or every day. I don't care what it is. God give them sex as a wedding present, and they never have a venereal disease. And for 20 years, these two couples had been married to each other with no sickness of no kind, and then this man and this woman get together, and they both come down with a venereal disease that's incurable. Where did it come from? I'll tell you what it was. It was a demon of hell. And when they opened the door to sin, that demon entered both of them, and both of them come down with an incurable venereal disease. And here's the thing that really got me. When I was ministering to this couple of years ago, I asked this couple over here, I said, well, the man here, he's the one that done the adultery. I asked his wife, I said, well, have you and your husband had sex since he done this? And she said, oh yeah, I didn't know about it for months. I said, do you have the disease? She said, no, don't have it. I said, but you got it? He said, yeah, I got it. I said, have you all been to a doctor and you've been checked? She said, yes, I don't have it. I said, go over here to this couple. And I said, okay, now woman, you got it. She said, I got it. I said, sir, do you have it? He said, no. I said, but you two had sex since you committed adultery. Oh, yeah. He said, this was several months ago. But said, I don't have it. She does. I thought to myself, Proverbs 26:2. I mean, it's amazing, these Proverbs. This brought this scripture home to me. I learned all this from the book of Proverbs. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causes shall not come to rest. Why did this man over here not get contaminated with a venereal disease? Why did this woman over here not get contaminated with a venereal disease? Because they were obedient and they were not under the curse. They had not sinned against God, and although they're sleeping with a mate that has a contagious venereal disease, that curse cannot come upon the obedient child of God. Isn't that something? Is God out there to protect His children?
Yes.
Yes, He'll protect His children, guarantee you. In fact, I had a woman in this church that told me that one time after I taught this. She said, you know, my husband did the very same thing you said, and said, I lived with him for months before I found out that he had this incurable venereal disease. And she said, it never come on me. And said, I've asked God a many a time, Lord, why did I escape this? And she said, I never understood it till today.
You have been listening to Thurman Scribner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Health, Longevity, and Prosperity, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.